And welcome back. Still in Numbers chapter 15. I hope the volume's good. It seemed good on the last one. I haven't messed with it, but I don't know that it's not getting jostled around anyway, though. But we'll roll with this, and hopefully it sounds good. I got another little clip for at the end. It's a George Carlin one. I just liked it. I don't know. I'll probably keep doing that as I find stuff on YouTube. That's essentially all I'm doing. It's like a short on YouTube. So I screen record it onto my phone, and then I use an app to steal the audio, save that into a file, then delete everything else. Anyway, so Numbers chapter 15. And this is, like, real quick, this is starting to pick up. Like, there's some, the story's getting wilder. And I heard from something that I was watching today. I can't remember what it was specifically, but it said or kind of alluded to the idea that Numbers, it's where God gets rid of a bunch of the what do you call them, like Nephilim. So I find that super interesting, super duper interesting. Because I'm into the giant stories and all that stuff. I think it's neat. That's my personal opinion on it. Chapter 15. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you have come to the land of your dwellings, which I am giving to you, then you shall prepare a fire offering to Jehovah, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice, in fulfillment of a vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed seasons, to make a sweet fragrance to Jehovah out of the herd or out of the flock." So you probably just heard the refrigerator kick on behind me. I apologize for that background noise. It should kick off fairly soon. Or actually, you know what? Hold on. Actually, she's gonna kick off right now. Another thing I'd heard or seen somebody talking about, and I think this as well, as watching a I can't remember the guy's name, a guy on YouTube that does videos about TikTok, like conspiracy videos, and just other things too. They're not all conspiracy stuff, but one of the things they were talking about in there is that at some point in the Bible, like, Jehovah's not asking for sacrifice. Like, in this area of the Bible, he seems to be asking for sacrifices a lot. But at some point, he, like, gets to the point, like, I don't need any more, I don't need you to kill anything more in my name. So I'm interested to see when that comes about, too. Like, how do we get to that point? Because at this point, we do seem to be just killing a lot of animals. There are a lot of offerings. They're going up in numbers. I mean, in some of them, the families were, you know, there was like two of this animal, five of this animal, and it was every family doing it. It just seems like a lot. Not exactly sure the whole purpose of it. Not that I question it, you know what I mean? The guy created everything. He tells me to sacrifice a bull for him. I'm sacrificing a bull for him. There's not a lot to talk about, right? So, but yeah, just weird. That's going to come up too. Just more things I'm learning about that I'm hoping to run into. But anyway, the giants are what I'm hoping to run into through Numbers, through the rest of Numbers. So make a sweet fragrance to Jehovah out of the herd or out of the flock. And he who is bringing his offering to Jehovah shall bring near a food offering of flour, a tenth part mixed with a fourth of hin of oil. I don't know what hin is. H-I-N. Hin of oil. And wine for a drink offering, a fourth of a hin, there it is again, you shall prepare for the burnt offering or for a sacrifice, for the one lamb. I have to use my phone when I'm recording this because I don't have this set up on my laptop, and I'm nowhere near my laptop right now, but I would love to look up what a hin is. I've never heard of that. A fourth of a hin. Is that a cup? Hin of oil. I mean, it's oil. Who knows? It could be a cup. Could be a teaspoon. What was a hin? I really just got to try to remember that when I'm done reading this, to try and remember that or to look it up. For the hin you shall prepare for the burnt offering. A fourth of a hin you shall prepare for the burnt offering or for a sacrifice for the one lamb. or you shall prepare a food offering of flour for a ram, 2/10 parts mixed with oil, 1/3 of a hin, and wine for a drink offering, 1/3 part of a hin. Oh, that's the end of the sentence. God, man, these commas and periods look so much alike when you're reading it this small. There's so many times a sentence ends, but I think that it doesn't. So I sound funny, you know? You shall prepare a food offering of flour for a ram, 2/10 parts mixed with oil, 1/3 of a hin, and wine for a drink offering, 1/3 part of a hin. You shall bring it near, a sweet fragrance to Jehovah, and when you prepare a bullock for a burnt offering or for a sacrifice in fulfillment of a vow or peace offering to Jehovah, then he shall bring near from the son of the herd a food offering of flour, 3/10 parts mixed with oil and 1/2 of a hin, and you shall bring wine near for a drink offering, 1/2 of a hin, as a fire offering of soothing fragrance to Jehovah. So it shall be done for one ox, or for one ram, or for a lamb of the sheep, or of the goats. Like anything that you sacrifice almost, right, of the bigger animals. No one's talking about sacrificing an elephant, you know what I mean? So, you shall prepare according to the number. They're only sacrificing things that you could eat, I think. Now, I mean, I'm not big on people eating rams in my knowledge, but you probably can. I don't know. The ox, though, the lamb, the sheep, the goats, those are all things people eat. So I imagine the ram falls into that category. It's in the same type of that species. So, I mean, it's like a sheep with horns, right? So you shall prepare according to the number. So you shall do for everyone according to their number. All that are homeborn shall do less things in this way. In presenting an offering made by fire of it's got to be soothing, but it says soothung, a soothing fragrance to Jehovah. The typos in this are comedy. So it's just so weird. Like that 7 I ran into last time. I can still see it. I no idea why that's there. I look, even on a keyboard, if you're typing, there's no reason you should be hitting a 7. Anyway. And if an alien lives with you, and sorry, that's just to say that you should be hitting a keyboard with this or not an actual typewriter. This is all typed out, so it's not printed, which is why there's so many errors. A spell check would have caught a lot of this. All that are homeborn shall do these things in this way, in presenting an offering made by fire of a soothing fragrance to Jehovah. And if an alien lives with you, or whoever may be among you, throughout your generations and desires to offer a fire offering of a soothing fragrance to Jehovah, as you do, so he shall do. As for the congregation, there shall be one statute both for you and for the alien that lives with you, a never-ending statute throughout your generations as you are, so shall the alien be before Jehovah. There shall be one law and one ordinance both for you and for the alien that lives with you. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall lift up a heave offering to Jehovah. You shall lift up a cake of the first of your dough as a heave offering. As of the threshing floor, so you shall heave it. You shall give of the first of your dough to Jehovah, a heave offering for your generations. And when you shall err, and it says E-R-R-R, I think that's err, I'm guessing. When you shall err and not observe all these commands which Jehovah has spoken to Moses, even all that Jehovah has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that Jehovah commanded and onward for your generations, then it shall be, if it be done in error by the congregation, by ignorance, even all the congregation shall offer a son of the herd for a burnt offering, for soothing fragrance to Jehovah. That soothing fragrance part just throws me away. I mean, unless it's like, unless they're, you know, like barbecue, right? Like barbecue smells pretty good. So if it's in that sense that they're talking about this is a soothing fragrance, then okay. Like if by saying soothing fragrance, he means season and make this good, okay. But otherwise, just like burning half an animal, that doesn't smell good. There's nothing soothing about that. So if you're out in the woods and you smell an animal burning, I don't think you're going to be soothed. That's all I'm saying. So it's just weird to hear that, you know, it's a weird for a soothing fragrance to Jehovah. I gotta assume that they mean like and it's food offering though, so is that the half? Because you're cutting it in half, you're burning half of it's a sacrifice, and the other half you get to eat. Do you season the half that you sacrifice? Are you cooking them the same, or do you just... Now I got a question. I have no idea where I'm going to find the answer for that. I bet I could find it on YouTube looking up, like, Jewish stuff. Because I think they still, like, sacrifice over in Israel and things like that. I bet... Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's where I'm going to go with that. Anyway, I'm way off track here. Fragrance to Jehovah, and its food offering, and its drink offering, according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Oh, they're going to kill a kid? That sucks. And the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. For it was an error, and they have brought their offering, a fire offering to Jehovah, and their sin offering before Jehovah for their error. And all their congregation of the sons of Israel shall be forgiven, and the alien that lives among them, for as to all the people, it was in ignorance. So I guess he's forgiven to the alien. Even though there's one time when like they don't actually say it, when they've repeated or said everything the whole way through, I guess it's implied. And if one person sins through error, then he shall offer a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. A she-goat, so that's a female, I guess? That's a weird way to say that. A she-goat. All right. And the priest shall make atonement for the soul that errs when he sins through error before Jehovah to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. Both he that is home-born among the sons of Israel and the alien that lives among them. You shall have one law for him that acts in error. And the soul that does anything with a high hand, whether home-born, or of the alien, the same blasphemes Jehovah. And that person shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Because he has despised... it's not a word if I don't call it that. Because he has despised the word of Jehovah and has broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. Well, that sucks. Don't do that. Or any of the things that lead to you being cut off like that. That is all bad. And while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation. And they put him under... excuse me, my voice is messing with me. And they put him under guard because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Why should anything be done to him? He was just gathering sticks. Oh, on Sabbath day. Oh, so he was working. He's working on a Saturday. Okay. And Jehovah said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. Oh. You know how many Saturdays I've worked on? Man. I was doing a gig... for a job for a little while, a landscaping job, and the guy that I was working for had some property that he'd set up, and he'd do like weddings on and stuff like that, and I'd go out there every Saturday and just get under the table pay, you know, like $150-170 for the day just to do work for him. It was never nowhere near as hard as what we actually did during the week, but that was a lot of Saturdays. This guy's getting put to death for picking up sticks. The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as Jehovah commanded Moses. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall tell them that they shall make themselves fringes on the corners of their garments, for their generations, and they shall put with the fringe of each corner a thread of blue. Excuse me. And it shall be to you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Jehovah, and do them, and that you... Huh. My brain's thinking of something. Sorry. And do them, and that you do not go out, and that you do not go about after your own heart and your own eyes, after which, you usually go astray, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Jehovah your God. That's the end of chapter 15. What I was thinking about when they were talking about the blue fringe of each corner, a thread of blue. I was just thinking about, like, Israel and them. Isn't a lot of their stuff white and blue? And they'll have, like, blue on the edges? I think, right? Not that I'm, like, super up on anything Israel. I gotta look that up, too. Now, I'm gonna have to start bringing, like, a notepad over here with me when I'm reading this so I can, start writing down all the things I want to look up. A hen, I think that's what I'm going to look up. But yeah, okay. It's starting to stack up, and I am definitely not going to remember to look all this up. Chapter 16, we'll do 16 to 17. That'll probably take me another 15 minutes anyway. It's really long. This is going to cover 2 pages in this book. All right, chapter 16. And Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, took both Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On. Dude, somebody's name was just On? O-N? Huh. The son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the sons of Israel, 250 rulers of the congregations. Elect men of the assembly, men of name. And they were assembled against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much, for all the congregation, all of them are holy, and Jehovah is among them. Why then do you lift up yourselves above the assembly of Jehovah?" And Moses heard and fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and to all his company, saying, "In the morning Jehovah will show who are his, and him who is holy, and shall cause him to come near him. Even him who he may choose, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers for yourselves." Censers, it's C-E-N-S-E-R-S. Is it supposed to be censor, like O-R-S? Of yourselves? Korah and all his company. No. Do this, take censers for yourselves, Korah and all his company, and put fire in them, and put incense on them before Jehovah tomorrow, and it shall be, the men whom Jehovah chooses, he shall be the holy one. You take too much, sons of Levi. Oh, wow, is that Moses yelling at them now? You take too much, sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it but a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Jehovah, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? Yea, he has brought you near, and all you brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. And will you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company that have gathered together against Jehovah, what is Aaron that you murmur against him?" What is Aaron that you murmur against him? Who asking, like, what's he accused of, I guess? Like, how has he offended you? What are you claiming him to be that you don't trust him, I guess? And Moses sent to call for Dathan and for Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? But must you also certainly seize dominion over us? Yea, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance in fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very angry and said to Jehovah, "Do not respect their offerings. I have not taken one ass from them, nor have I hurt one of them." And Moses said to Korah, "You and all your company, you be there before Jehovah, you and they and Aaron, tomorrow." So, I guess I'm a little lost on how we completely got into all of this. Why are they fighting? So these guys, is it again, they just turned. just suddenly these guys weren't happy and they just completely turned. Is that what happened again? Is that what we're dealing with here? Because I don't see a cause for any of this. Other than these guys walked up to Moses and just started saying, hey. Like, it just says a whole bunch of them. They elected a men of assembly, men of name, and they were assembled against Moses and against Aaron. What is going on with these people? What is wrong with these people? Just the people of this time, I guess. Just God is quite an amazing and wondrous God, or individual, and all things, you know what I mean? To just be putting up with this. To get, I mean, he got through this clearly to where we are now. I don't think I could do it. If I was trying to, if I was like greater than some other species and it needed my help and I knew I could help it, and I started doing that and every turn along the way, over 10 times, this is 11 now, right? They just kept turning on me. I think by the second or third time, I'd have been like, all right, you guys are on your own. Good luck with the Giants. I'm going to go over here and see if this other tree, you need to start moving, looking for the ones that would listen. You know what I mean? Like, the ones that would listen, they'll be my chosen ones. I mean, there's a reason, obviously, these guys are his chosen ones, but what a self-entitled group. It's insane. And I mean, these are the Levites, right? They're not, it's not the Israelites or whatnot, I don't think. But it just seems like everyone he chooses is so quick to turn on him. And in this sense, I guess it's, I mean, they are, you know, they are turning on Jehovah, I guess, because it's through Moses that they, but I mean, Jehovah spoke to him through the tabernacle, right? The tent lit up. It's so weird. It's so weird that they would just so quickly turn so often. It's incredible. Okay. So, tomorrow. And each one take his censer, and you shall put incense on them, and shall offer before Jehovah each his censer, 250 censers, even you and Aaron, each his censer. And they each took his censer, and put fire on them, and lay incense on them, and they stood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah assembled all the congregation against them, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of Jehovah was seen by all the congregation. So Jehovah just, I mean, they're not supposed to go in there, right? And Jehovah spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from the midst of this company, and I will consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all the congregation? Dude, the whole congregation's sinning. It's not one man. We just listed, we started this chapter by listing all these people and saying that they, not only did, these were the elected. Who were they elected by? The rest of the congregation, right? Or, I mean, are they calling the Levites all just one man and saying don't punish everyone, just kill the Levites? It's 250, right? This, anyway, let's move on. Be angry with all the congregation. Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, you get away from around the tent of Korah. You get away from around here. All right. Saying, you get away from around the tent of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel went after him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, please turn away from the tents of these wicked men, and do not touch anything that they have, lest you be consumed in all their sins. And they got away from around the tent of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out standing at the door of their tents, and their wives, their sons, and their infants. Moses said, by this you shall know that Jehovah has sent me to do all these works, and that not from my own heart. If these die according to the death of all men, and are visited according to the visitation of all men, then Jehovah has not sent me. And if Jehovah makes a new thing, and the ground opens her mouth and swallows them, and all that they have, and they go down alive to Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised Jehovah. And it happened, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground which was under them split apart, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them and their houses, and all the men who were for Korah and all their possessions. And they went down, they and all that they had, alive to Sheol. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." And fire came forth from Jehovah and consumed the 250 men that offered the incense. All right. Well, it struck that other group with pestilence, right? Or disease or whatnot. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would want to go against Jehovah or Moses or any of his boys. It just for this time period, for what they've been through and what they've seen, it makes no sense. And clearly these three, so I guess these three, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were the leaders. So they're the ones who kind of, they must have sent their sons out to create an assembly of men. And then they had people all around their tents, and they, while they were talking poorly about our Lord and about the men he has working for him, I guess. But that's it. So he didn't just kill. So the 250 men that offered the incense, he just, because wasn't Aaron one of them? No, he spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, "Separate yourselves." Wow. Because the dude fell down and was like, "Wouldn't you kill these guys?" So he ended up taking care of the ones that were responsible before all them. And everyone that was still with them. And he still took out the other 250. So this is the second time that, again, somebody's crying for these people. Like, and it doesn't make sense when they're like, you know, like I was saying, he's like, because of one man or these three men. It's, look, the three men's not, each person has their own individual free will. And if they're following these idiots against God, then they've made their choice. I mean, you're, just because they have a leader doesn't mean that they're not wrong in their own sense for what they're doing, right? And it's, they should be punished. I can't imagine if I was in this time period witnessing what they were witnessing and going through what they're going through, anybody around me talking poorly about Moses and being like, "Yeah, that makes sense." I mean, you just witnessed all those other people die on the hill or whatever, right? The pestilence and whatnot. And now that you've moved over here, you're gonna try it again? We think we should. It's just so incredibly dumb. It doesn't make sense. It's incredibly hard to understand those people's point of view, I guess is my point. If I have a point, anyway. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, and he shall lift up the censers from the midst of the burning, and shall scatter the fire yonder, for they have become holy, and the censers of these sinners against their own souls. And they shall make of them spread out plates, a covering for the altar, for they have brought them near before Jehovah, and they are holy. And they shall become a sign to the sons of Israel." And Eleazar the priest took the copper censers, which they who were burned had brought near, and they spread them out. So, I mean, are those holy because they are part of what they were supposed to do, so nothing happened to the censers, and they're still considered holy because they're part of the offering, right? So he's taking the offering for the rest of Israel, but not taking the men who brought the offerings. Is that what I'm understanding? "Spread them out, a covering for the altar, a memorial to the sons of Israel, so that an alien who is not of the seed of Aaron shall not draw near to offer incense before Jehovah, and shall not be as Korah and as his company, as Jehovah had spoken by the hand of Moses to him." Oh, is this, man, I'm tracking this so poorly. Is this, okay, so he separated everybody and everybody had their jobs. Is this because, like, some guys that didn't have the job of being right around the tabernacle and taking care of that ministering, they wanted to do that? they wanted that job. So they, like, basically they wanted to be able to get elected or moved into that kind of thing too. They didn't want to just stay where they were. They were getting jealous of the guys that were closer. So they started trying to, is that what was happening? Huh. That makes more sense. Why they just all of a sudden were like, so it's kind of, it's that age old story of you got a job, you're the peon, and you just got kind of decent and comfortable in your job, not realizing that you're completely expendable. You started copping an attitude and acting like you should have somebody else's job, like you know more. And then they drop you because you're the peon, and the best thing you can do is know your role, right? The quickest way to advance is to know your role. You got to be really good at what you're supposed to be doing in order to advance, and not worrying too much about what others are doing with their jobs, you know? That shouldn't be your focus. You excel well at your job, and somebody might try you out at something else because they know that you do good work, you know? Anyway. In his company, as Jehovah had spoken by the hand of Moses to him. My nose is starting to run, sorry. We're not too far from the end here, though, so I'm just going to kind of push through. And all the congregation, again, I don't know why my nose is running. It only happens when I'm reading the Bible for some reason. I can just, all of this, my nose is just running like crazy. It's just, like right now, it's one nostril. One nostril is just running for no good reason. Okay, moving on. Quorin as the company is, Jehovah had spoken by the hand of Moses to him. And all the that's where we are, right? Wait a minute. No, it's not. And they shall become assigned to the sons of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the copper censers, which they who were burned had brought near, and they spread them out, a covering for the altar, a memorial to the sons of Israel, so that an alien who is not of seed of Aaron shall not draw near to offer incense before Jehovah, and shall not be as Korah and as his company, as Jehovah had spoken by the hand of Moses to him. And all the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured on the next day against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of Jehovah." What? And it happened, as the company was assembled against Moses and against Aaron, that they turned toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud had covered it, and the glory of Jehovah appeared. And Moses and Aaron came up to the front of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from the midst of this company, and I shall consume them in the moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take the censer and put fire on it from the altar, and lay on the incense, and go, hurry to the congregation, and make atonement for them. For the wrath has, for the wrath has gone out from the presence of Jehovah. The plague has begun." And Aaron did as Moses had spoken, and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had begun among the people. And he laid on the incense and made atonement for the people, and stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. And those who died by the plague were 14,700. Besides those who died for the matter of Korah and Aaron, turned back to Moses, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Whoa! Right? Because there was 250, plus a few more, I think. And he just killed how many? 14,700. My Lord. My Lord. That's a lot of people. But again, that's 12 times now. 12 times. Because remember, it was 10 times when he was saying this is the last, right? They just did it, and he had to take out the 250 and the three guys and those around his tent. And the very next morning, these people are back at it again. Good riddance. I don't understand it. They're so evil and greedy that even when someone's performing miracles, or, I mean, look, man, the way he's knocking people dead, I mean, I don't know if you consider a miracle to always be something good, but that's a miracle too, you know? And wow, to have witnessed that 11 times. I'll let you wake up, you're talking about the 11th time, and you're like, you know, screw these guys. What? It is incredible. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And that's not counting. So, I mean, that's 14,700, not counting the guys that died. We know there was 250, the three guys. And now we don't know if the guys around the tent were the 250 or if it was because they needed 250 for the thing. So it could have been more, right? So if that number was anywhere near 300, let's say in total, then we're talking about 15,000 dead. 15,000 since they got here. That's not counting all the people that died back on the hill. Or I mean, I remember when they were accounting for how many people were in these tribes. I would say it's a lot. There are a lot of people in these tribes, but damn, just wow. And are these? I got to think of this again. Maybe go back and look. Who is it that? Because it was in the morning. It's Israel. Okay, so my brain was wondering, did he just kill 14,000 Levites or sons of Israel? And are the Levites considered sons of Israel now? Am I just confusing that? But it was all the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured the next day against Moses and against Aaron. Why would they be against those two? Those two tried to save the people that were killed. They fell on their faces and cried, "Would you kill the entire congregation over one man?" So God went and killed the three men, the one men that were misleading everybody. And then he wiped out everyone that came for the sacrifice or the offering. It's just insane. Insane. What a crazy, crazy people. But people are crazy. Society's crazy. I mean, these people sound almost as confused and lost as people do now, right? Like, we've got some wild ideas out there running strong that make no damn sense. No damn sense at all. I'm not even going to get into the specifics of any of them, or because it's such a hotbed topic, all of it. It's just insane. But that's why, you know, I lean towards us being post-millennial, post-trib, that this is likely, we're living in the little season. And just the description of it, I think, fits us perfectly, that the generations among that season will be the most deceived of all the generations. And I think that's us. If you go back in history, people don't get dumber. They don't get dumber. Look at what they were building, what they were doing. They get much more intelligent, especially the average person. If you don't understand that, just look up, you can go online and look this up. Look up homework or graded work from a sixth grader, a 12-year-old in 1920. Just look at what they were writing, a book report. It's documented. You can go look at it. Most adults can't speak as well or write as well as these kids were, or even form thought. Like, it was the level of intelligence displayed by these children surpasses anything that we're putting out today. I mean, you would expect these kids to be in like Ivy League schools, the way they're talking and understanding and comprehending things. It's nothing like the 12-year-old of today. Nothing. It's hand and foot different. So, but anywho, that was chapter 16. We'll be moving on to 17 when I come back next time. And this is crazy. This is definitely picking up. I'm starting to enjoy this so much more, which will probably lead to me, you know, hopefully getting back into every night, because I want to move forward in this book. Like, it's picking up. We're not just going through ledgers and pages of just names and, you know, family trees and whatnot, which is all pertinent, I'm sure, in some way, but there's so much of it that I guarantee you, these names are going to come up later, and I'm not going to associate them to where they were talked about in Genesis or, you know what I mean, Leviticus or whatnot. So, but yeah. Okay, so we're on chapter 17. Now, I know that the one thing that I was talking about with Child Essay, that's coming up. That should be in the 20s. I can't wait to see if we just skip right over that. It doesn't draw any alarm, you know what I mean? Because that's what I expect to happen. And also, while we're in Numbers, I don't know how much longer Numbers it looks. Oh, it's going to go on for a while. Deuteronomy next. Yeah, we've got 131. Okay, we got 20 more pages almost. Yeah. So in the next 20 pages, we should eradicate or take out some giants, or we should be hearing about some giants. Anyway, I'm excited about that. Hope you guys had a great day. Anyone that listens to this, it's probably just me. It's just me listening to it later when it hits the Apple thing. But that's cool too. Anyway, you are listening. I hope you had a great day, and go with God.
There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls.